The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The following program is sponsored by Cleveland Right to Life and is responsible for its content.
Welcome to From the Median, a daily report from the front line of the pro-life movement, discussing two worldviews that are driving our culture in opposite directions. From the Median asks, which side of the road are you on? What direction do you want our culture to go? Tune in as we plan the route that takes us back to the culture of life. And now your host, Molly Smith.
Good evening and welcome to From the Median, where we are concerned with the middle ground, not just to understand both sides of an argument, but also to awaken the consciences of those who are neutral or indifferent to this, the greatest civil rights movement of all times, the pro-life movement. Listeners, as always, thank you so much for joining us. And a quick plug again, reminder to please use our podcast services. You just can go to any podcast app that you have and just put in From the Median and type in the person that you want to listen to, and up it pops and away you go. Our guest right now is a very dear friend and somebody who's been on the program many times. And I have asked her to come back on the program right now because we are facing all kinds of, I don't know what else to say other than wackiness. There's so much wackiness going on in the world at the moment, particularly in America. And of course, I am talking about Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse. And before we get to introduce you, I want to just tell you a little bit more about Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse in case you've forgotten. She is the founder of the Ruth Institute, which is an interfaith international coalition to defend the family and build a civilization of love. She was the campaign spokeswoman for the California Proposition 8 campaign, defining marriage as the union of a man and a woman. She has authored or co-authored 6 books and spoken around the globe on marriage, family, and human sexuality. Her work has been translated into Spanish, listen to this now, Spanish, Chinese, Korean, Polish, and Chukchi, the native language of the Mariconian Islands. Her latest book is The Sexual State. Well, her latest book at this, the book we're going to talk about right now is The Sexual State, How Elite Ideologies Are Destroying Lives and Why the Church Was Right All Along. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Molly. It's always a pleasure.
So did I say the name of that language, Chukchi?
I think it's called
So okay, we'll figure it.
It's Chukchis, and it's the Micronesian Islands, and that was such an interesting thing. I received an email, this must have been 10 or 15 years ago by now. I got an email from a fellow who is a chaplain, and he works with men in prison in the Micronesian Islands. And he had read my article that I wrote way back when I worked for the Hoover Institution called Parents or Prisons. And it was about fatherless men being so at risk for ending up in the criminal justice system. And he wanted to share that article with the men that he was working with in the Micronesian Islands. And I'm like, absolutely. Yeah. How could I possibly say no to that, you know? Yeah. So that's the story of how...
Oh, my gosh. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Yeah. It's funny how, you know, Jennifer, when we do God's work, God does... He astounds us always. I'm always like blown away by what he does for us all when we trust in his word and in him and his glory. I mean, it doesn't always look like glory when it's happening, but it's always glory at the end of it. So
you and I are both in the line of work where we don't sell a product to somebody. And when we sell the product, we know we've sold it. We get the money. They got the stuff. What we do is we blast the world with information and ideas and suggestions, right? And possible courses of action. We blast the world with that stuff, and we never know who picks it up.
That's right.
We never know the influence that it has, you know. So, you know, I write and give public speeches, and you're on the radio. I mean, what could be more ephemeral than radio waves, you know? But we know for a fact that people are listening. And they are doing things because of things that we have said to them.
And you know, I totally agree with you. And I think that that's one of the humbling things of what you, when, you know, when we do this work is that, is recognizing that. Make sure before you start, and I do this all the time. I've got a little wooden cross here that I brought back from Jerusalem, and I hold it often during my interviews, just because it's God's work. It's not my work. It's not your work. It's God's work. And if we remember that, then I think this is, you know, this is how you spread the word of God by just by the actions, by the words you say. So, but now let's talk about the sexual state. I really do. You came to our convention last year, I think it was, and you talked about this book, The Sexual State. If, folks, if you want to get Jennifer's full presentation, go to bringingamericabacktolife.org and just type in her name and it'll pop up and you can actually just watch the whole video, the whole tape of her presentation. Absolutely outstanding. But I wanted to pull it, I wanted to bring it back up to the front again, Jennifer, because, you know, we are all dealing with this transgenderism, with this breakdown of marriage. Your book talks about, it focuses on three major things, the contraceptive ideology, the divorce ideology, and the gender ideology. Go into that a little bit. I mean, you answer some questions as you go through your book. Tell us a little bit about how did you get, how did you identify those as the three major issues?
That's a long story, but just to be clear about the title of the book, these three ideologies, which I'll mention in a minute, all of them are part of our social order today because elites, wealthy people, powerful people, influential people have used the power of the state to bring this, to put these things into the structures of society. So when they start yammering at you about allowing everybody to choose what they want, that is a smokescreen. And you need to identify that right away as a big red flag that this person either doesn't know what they're talking about or they're up to no good, okay? Because what has happened to us, and you can see it most clearly this moment with the gender ideology, with the whole transgender issue, there is no grassroots demand for transgenderism, okay? Is that absolutely obvious to everybody listening? And, you know, anybody with an IQ over 10 should be able to see that this is not coming up from, bubbling up from the grassroots spontaneously to solve some obvious and necessary problem. No, it's coming from the top down. It's coming from extremely wealthy foundations and individuals and the government itself. They are using the government itself to wipe out the difference between male and female out of law and society. That's what they're doing. Okay. And so that's what that's why I call it the sexual state, you know, that without the power of the state, we wouldn't be looking at any of this stuff, right? So just to have that as a mm-hmm, basic mm-hmm. overview. Now, as to the three interlocking ideologies, as you said, it's the contraceptive ideology, the divorce ideology, the gender ideology. The contraceptive ideology, the sexual revolutionaries believe and promote the idea that a good and decent society should wipe out the connection between sex and babies, okay? That sex should be normally a sterile activity and that a good society makes it so you can have all the sex you want without ever having a live baby, okay? And, it, you know, if you have quirky lifestyle preferences and you happen to want a baby, okay, fine. Maybe you can have a baby, you know, when you're 45 or some darn thing, you know? But normatively, the laws of society, the social practices should be organized around the idea that sex and babies are completely separated things. And I'm sure all of your followers are going to recognize that. All of your pro-life people are going to recognize the fact that that's the drive. That's where the drive for abortion on demand comes from.
Absolutely.
It's to prop up this desire, you know, to have this. So that's the contraceptive ideology. The divorce ideology says that a good society should separate both sex and babies from marriage. And so you don't have to be married in order to have sex. You don't have to be married in order to have a baby. And what's underneath that, what is never fully stated, is that children don't really need permanent relationships with their parents. see. There's no need for you, for me as a woman, to connect in a permanent manner to a man who's then going to be the father of all of the children I will ever have in my life. Because the kids don't really care. They don't really need that, right? And so if I'm married for a while and have two or three kids with one man, get divorced, marry somebody new, have kids with another person, the kids will be fine with that. The first batch of kids will be fine. The second batch of kids will be fine. The kids will be fine, you know. And if I marry somebody who has kids of their own, now my kids have step siblings. And then when we divorce, he leaves, takes his kids with him. The fact that those step siblings are not siblings anymore, that's not going to bother them. They'll be fine. They don't care about that, you know. That's what we're expected to believe, and that's what the young people of America have to put up with today. And I call that whole package of all of those policies that separate sex and babies from marriage, that say that marriage is not the proper context for childbearing, okay? All of that comes under the heading of the divorce ideology. Mm-hmm. And you can see that third-party reproduction, sperm donation, egg donation, surrogacy, all of that is a special case, a particularly horrendous special case, but a special case of the idea that kids don't really need the attachments to their biological parents. Okay. So that's the divorce ideology. And then finally, the gender ideology says that the differences between men and women are not in any way substantial or significant. And a good society should really wipe out all the differences between men and women and really, in the end, wipe out the legal categories of male and female from law and society, okay? And so when I put it that way, and this is the one that's the hardest to explain in one sentence in a way, because it's morphed from one thing to the next, you know? Absolutely. You can see that there is some connection between some forms of feminism and then the gay ideology and now the transgender ideology. All of those are different instances of the same overall species, you could say, where the species, what we're saying is that this category of ideas is that male and female is nothing substantial. Exactly. And you can overwrite male and female if you have some important social goal in mind, like equality or personal autonomy, right? You could overwrite the differences between male and female. And in fact, that a good society has an obligation to do that. Okay.
And not to do it is abusive.
Not to do it is abusive. Yeah. You know, in other words, the difference between being a man and being a woman is so insubstantial that if you have a 15-year-old who thinks they were, quote, born in the wrong body, it would be abusive for you to not help that girl change the contours of her body and make modification to her body so that she can be a boy. Okay. Mm-hmm. Because her autonomy is more important than anything that has to do with the body itself. Mm-hmm. And so you can see when you put it that way and you see that that's what it is. You can see it's a form of Gnosticism. It's a form of mind-body dualism that asserts that the spirit is superior and the body is somehow ephemeral and not especially important. So it's the oldest heresy, one of the oldest heresies that Christianity has had to deal with. It just keeps reasserting itself in different forms.
Yeah.
And with all the technology that we have and all the scientific hubris that we have in modern times, you know, we're doing things that the ancient Greeks and Romans, pagan as they were, could not have dreamed of, right? However decadent they were, we can top them.
Absolutely.
We can top them because we got medicine and science and technology.
Oh my goodness. Yes, you are so right. This is, if anybody is intrigued, and I'm sure you all are that are out there listening, the book that Jennifer wrote and is talking about right now, and we're going to get into more questions about it, but it's called The Sexual States, How Elite Ideologies Are Destroying Lives and Why the Church Was Right All Along. And you can get that by going to thesexualstate.com and purchasing the book right there. Please go and read it. This is what we need to understand where we are in order to be able to fix the problems that we have right now. We have to understand, and Jennifer's book helps us to, it walks us through, it gives you the apologetics, for want of a better word, to be able to defend and support God's plan for us as human beings. So really, the sexual state, and go to sexualstate.com, purchase the book, read it, understand what we're dealing with so that we can go forward. Jennifer, there are, you answer some questions, and you actually state this at the, you know, in the lead up to the book as well. So you, one of the questions that you say that you do answer in the book is, did the sexual revolution just sweep through society like a mindless force of nature? Or did powerful people actively promote it?
Yeah, that's so obvious now, isn't it? Powerful people actively promoted it. And I think pro-lifers can take some comfort, if you want to call it comfort. But I don't know, we should do a victory lap or pat ourselves on the back or something for the fact that we were the first people to really see this.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you know, in other words, the pro-life movement has understood from the beginning that they were dealing with billionaires who think there are too many people in the world. Okay, so all of the rhetoric about female empowerment, yada, yada, yada. Yes, there are all of those arguments, right? But behind that, behind those people, financing those people, building them up, making sure that there are plenty of those people making those kinds of arguments are people with lots and lots of money who think there are too many people in the world. Population control is the end game of the contraceptive ideology. Do not yourself. Female empowerment. Look, if they were about female empowerment, they would have been screaming bloody murder over the one child policy.
That's right. So, right?
And what did
absolutely.
We hear? What did we hear from mainstream feminists over the one child policy? Forced abortions, including people having their house knocked down by the birth control police for having a so-called illegal child. What did the feminists have to say about that? Crickets. That's what right. Crickets.
They had and they were sending Planned Parenthood over there to help.
You know, yeah. Did they even need Planned Parenthood's help? I don't know. but that's how you can know that there's something that the rhetoric, you just have to put the rhetoric aside because mm-hmm. that's not the whole story.
Absolutely. Why is the sexual revolution propaganda so relentless and increasingly, oh, I love this question. I mean, you put these questions together when you wrote the book a number of years back, Jennifer.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
They continue to be so relevant to what we are dealing with. It says, why are they increasingly bizarre? Oh my gosh.
Okay, so Molly, I'm going to just pause here. This book was published in 2018, okay, 5 years ago, which means most of the writing was done before that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if this book had been simply a catalog of crazy things going on, it would have been out of date the minute it was printed.
That's right.
Because this stuff is going so fast, you know?
Yeah.
But the reality is that what the book gives you is a structure for understanding what we're dealing with. So that you don't feel so overwhelmed, so that you can feel confident when you speak out against it. Mm-hmm. We just went through the three ideologies. That's everything you encounter will be one of those three things. And so that means there are only three big ideas that you have to master, right? And if you understand what the core issue is, then, and you've got a set of arguments that deal with that, a set of knowledge that deals with that. You can be confident when you speak out against it. You can be confident when you're going to the school board and explaining why you don't want certain books in the school library. This is not censorship. It's about age-appropriate material for agents of the state to be putting in front of small children. That's what the issue is. It has nothing to do with censorship, okay? Because we're not talking about adults making adult decisions, right? We're talking about propaganda. So, coming back to the whole question of propaganda, and this, I think, is at the heart of the sexual state. The three ideologies I mentioned, Molly, you and your listeners can surely see that all three of those ideologies are incorrect and impossible, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not possible to create a whole society where sex and babies are disconnected. No matter how much birth control and abortion you have, some of those little babies are going to sneak through. And you're going to have babies, and they're going to flow from sexual encounters between a man and a woman. That's going to happen. Kids actually do need their parents. So the divorce ideology at its core is just rotten to the core. And the evidence that kids need their parents is going to be hitting you in the face all the time. The suffering that young people endure because of the divorce of their parents, the pain that adults put each other through the whole divorcing process, that is going to be in your face on a regular basis. And then finally, the gender ideology. You know, if you open your eyes, you're going to see that men and women actually are different. And it carries through every aspect of your life. I heard somebody talking about the transgender issues, so anthropologists saying, you know what? When we die, somebody dig up our skeletons, you know, 100 years from now, they will be able to look at the skeleton and say, that is a female skeleton right there. That is a male skeleton right there. You really can't.
You can't change
you can't.
It.
Change it with these cosmetic things that they're trying to do. It's very superficial. So when you've got the ruling class committed to a three-part ideology that simply cannot be, this is impossible to make these things happen. Two things have to happen. Number one, they need a lot of power to do the impossible, which personally I think is the main appeal of all of this. Mm-hmm. They need a lot of power to do the impossible. And number two, it will take ending propaganda.
That's right.
To keep people in line, because you're going to see on a daily basis that your little boy and your little girl behave differently and feel differently, and that you need to interact with them differently. You're going to see evidence of that on a daily basis, that men and women are different. Okay. All across the board, you're going to see things that contradict the sexual revolution. And so therefore they got to be in your face all the time, pointing to these examples of exceptions and how normal and how typical and isn't it wonderful and isn't that child so brave and yada, yada, yada. It's endless. You know, Molly, they're still trying to tell people every once in a while, you'll see a magazine article talking about open marriage and how,
I know,
look at this brave woman has two boyfriends and her husband's okay with it and it's really fine. And, you know, all this.
And her husband has two wives. I mean, honestly.
And they've been pushing this stuff since the 70s.
Yeah.
And you know, and back in the day, back in the 70s, even if it was really going to work, it would have worked by now. But I can tell you, back in the 70s, I knew plenty of people who tried this nonsense. And I can't think of a single case where it actually worked.
Absolutely.
You know, right? Yeah. You see divorces and, you know, all kinds.
And you know, and the very things that, the very thing that they continually accuse us of, is exactly what's happening within these cultures, within this sort of this cultural malaise that's happening right now. And that is abuse. There is so much abuse that goes on. Believable abuse. I have a very dear friend, Linda Harvey, who does this. This is all she does, is she checks out what's going on right now, today, currently, what's going on right now, where is the dangers, and the things that she finds, Jennifer, it's unbelievable what's going on. So yeah, there's huge abuse.
Yeah. So, you know, we interviewed Linda Harvey on my video podcast program, The Dr. J Show. So all your people, you know, all yeah. Molly's people, your people are my people.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, we've all got to stick together, Jennifer. I mean, honestly, we've got a huge task ahead of us as we, but with God, everything is possible. That's it. That's on our state motto. It's on our, it's in front of our state, our steps.
I interviewed a detective, guy who had spent 5 years investigating crimes against children, most of which were sex crimes against children. And he told me that he could count on the fingers of one hand the number of times that the perpetrator was the biological father married to the child's mother. Okay, it is almost always the mother's new boyfriend. Okay, the mother's new boyfriend is for sure the most dangerous person for a child, right? Oh, and so all of this conversation about how, you know, you can switch out your sex partners whenever you want and everything's going to be okay, that is so short-sighted.
Absolutely.
You know, just so short-sighted.
And dangerous. Dangerous for our children. Dangerous for, that's called The Sexual State, and you can get it from the website exactly the same, thesexualstate.com. Jennifer, anything new in the works? We've got about a half a minute or a minute left. Anything new?
Well, you know, we're in the middle of a fundraising campaign that we call Resist Pride Back to School Edition. because there's just so much crazy stuff going on in the school. So right now we have a lot of information on our Facebook page, and of course in our newsletter focused on this theme. But all of your people should sign up for the Ruth
Absolutely.
X. newsletter. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse, as always, a true modern day hero here. Thank you so much for all you're doing, Jennifer. God bless
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, Molly.
God bless you lots. Bye bye. Don't go anywhere. I will be back with you right after this very short break with another world-class, inspiring guest.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.